All right, it is 6 o'clock, so I will call this evening's meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
At the moment, Bruce, Vice Chair Berlin is absent. Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Roof?
Here.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Here.
Perfect. Commissioner Buchanan, will you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Agenda review. Does any of my fellow commissioners want to revise the order of agenda items tonight? Nope. All right. The next area of our agenda is community comments and suggestions. This is a public comment period as an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda tonight. Comments should be limited to the matters that are within the jurisdiction of our Planning Commission. We can take public comment from in the room, but if you are online and joining from the Zoom meeting, use the raise hand feature to indicate your desire to provide public comment. Is there anyone here that's going to be making a public comment for items that are not on the agenda tonight? I don't see anyone in the room. Okay. Do we have anyone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you so much. I will close the community comments and suggestions period, and we'll move on to written communications. I know I saw one thing that went out in our email this afternoon, but is there any other written communications that were received?
Just the one written communication today.
Perfect. Thank you so much. We'll move on to the consent agenda. On tonight's consent agenda, we have the approval of minutes, as well as the consideration of time extension 23-002 for conditional use permit number 19-002. Is there any public comment on this agenda item tonight? None in the room. Is there anything online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Okay, it looks like we do have one speaker on Zoom.
Great.
Katie Wabowski, please unmute your microphone.
Is this an appropriate time for me to comment on the homeless safe parking?
Actually, no. This is public comment on the consent agenda, which would be the approval of minutes and the consideration of the time extension. The next, that item, I believe, is 8A.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Madam Chair, there are no other commenters.
Great. Thank you so much. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda tonight?
I actually had a comment or a question about, I was reading about 7B, that it's in regards to assisted living units. And I was wondering if we could, it's something of a concern for mine for the future as we have like an aging population here in Arroyo Grande. And I know we don't have necessarily data from the city on those kind of numbers, but did the applicant give you any ideas to like what kind of need there is for that, those kind of facilities and what we can like expect to need? Or I was just wondering if the staff had any comment on that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Andrew Perez, City's Planning Manager. We didn't get specific information or market analysis from the applicant. Rather, we just got a general indication that they identified a need in our city, in our region, and that's why they proposed this project.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions about anything on the consent agenda?
No. If there's no more comment, I'd like to move
to adopt or approve the consent agenda. Excuse me.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
And Chair Maravilla?
Yes. All right. Moving on to our public hearing item, which is a continued consideration of amendments to Title 16 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding a safe parking ordinance, Development Code Amendment 23-001, the location being citywide. Do we have a staff report on this item?
Yes, we do. Thank you, Chair Maravilla and members of the Planning Commission. Again, I'm Andrew Perez, the city's planning manager, and provide a brief update on the status of our safe parking ordinance. Beginning with a little background, really the impetus for developing the safe parking ordinance were discussions that our staff had with leaders of the local faith community to discuss safe parking. And initially, these stakeholders encouraged staff to allow safe parking as an accessory use to existing church uses without requiring any additional permits. While staff acknowledged the urgency and recognized the compassion that they were showing, there's also a side that of staff that acknowledged there are health and safety concerns that need to be addressed in an ordinance and be regulated for the well-being of both the guests, the operators, and neighbors of these sites. So with the encouragement of council and our city attorney, staff drafted an ordinance and presented that to council on March 14th for purposes of a study session. That ordinance included regulations for the operation of the safe parking sites, obligations of guests, hosts, appeal procedures, really kind of ran the gamut to regulate this type of use. At that hearing, council was supportive of the ordinance in general and directed staff to revise some minor aspects of the ordinance, primarily with regards to the level of involvement required from a social service provider. At that time, council really stressed the importance of staff obtaining a commitment from a social service organization that would provide resources and connect guests of safe parking sites with the available resources. And again, council wanted this in place before moving the adoption forward towards an adoption phase. So subsequent to the study session, we as staff had conversations with our local social service organization, kind of confirmed that they would be able to provide these types of resources that the city council had urged us to confirm. We are unable to secure that commitment. Therefore, staff is recommending to put this effort on hold for now. At the same time, considering a shift to a regional approach that would look at safe parking at a limited number of sites, either throughout the county or kind of regionally here in South County. We think this makes sense because it makes efficient use of limited resources that are available to the city. It could also be an opportunity to establish consistent standards and expectations for operators and guests. So therefore, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission receive tonight's update and then continue this hearing to a date uncertain. This will allow staff to engage in discussions with other agencies and perhaps pursue other programs, resources, and code amendments that would benefit the unhoused in our community. That's it for my presentation, and happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Great. Thank you so much, Mr. Perez. Do we have questions from commission members tonight? Commissioner Buchanan, would you like to start?
Sure. Yeah, I have a few questions. My first question is, what is this continuance? What does the delay in this ordinance or lack of an ordinance mean for the St. John's program and any other program operating under a temporary use permit currently?
So that is still an avenue in which an organization could pursue a safe parking site. Currently, St. John's approval has lapsed. Temporary use permits have a maximum length of 6 months of approval time. So in their situation, they obtained initial six-month approval and then were actually granted a six-month extension. So they had a total year in time of hosting a safe parking site. So should there be other organizations, we could evaluate those on a case-by-case basis.
Is there any limit to the number of times they can request an extension?
That's something we'd want to confirm with the city attorney. I presume there would be. We wouldn't want someone to use that as a kind of a workaround for a permanent approval, not just for safe parking, but for really any use that someone would want to pursue, a temporary use versus a permanent conditional use for a minor use permit.
Okay. And are there, by all accounts in this report, the program, you know, the one example of the program that we currently have is being run well and successfully. Are there specific risks or conditions that have not been mitigated by, you know, the status quo with a temporary use permit? I haven't seen the specific permit, does it specify that they need to have a social services organization working with them? Or have we just adopted that as a model?
The St. John's temporary use permit did require coordination with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. I believe they were tasked with screening guests as they registered for the site. So that's kind of part of the genesis of including the social services provider into the ordinance, and then it was further kind of reinforced by council and some of the public comment we heard at the study session.
Okay, and then so there's some language in the report I'm trying to parse a little bit. So we in the report notes that the amount of involvement that the discussion has been centered around the involvement of a social service provider, which we would need to have to make the program effective, and that the ordinance will be infeasible without that. And those terms feel a little bit loaded to me. I'm trying to gauge what we mean by ineffective and infeasible here. Is it that we're just trying to aim this program at getting people into permanent housing? Do we not feel like an overnight stay in a safe parking space is effective or a feasible goal to reach? I'm sure some of this is maybe drawn out of the original discussions with council, but can you help me, again, tease apart what we mean by making this effective and feasible or infeasible here?
Of course, yeah. Very good question. So starting with the effectiveness, I think, you know, it was a goal of staff to kind of craft the ordinance to make it where this was kind of a transformational program. So it wasn't, you know, it was hopefully allowing folks that are living from their vehicles to seek and obtain permanent housing in the traditional sense. And I think infeasible is probably was the incorrect word there. It's, I think, maybe infeasible for that goal, but in general, I don't think that that infeasible is a bit strong there.
Okay, yeah, I think I'd agree, and that was kind of my feelings there. I was feeling that, you know, it's perfectly fine to have a goal of just providing people a safe night's stay, and I think that's what some of these organizations are trying to do with the added benefit of connecting them with social services. So I would hate to see that be a roadblock to an ordinance like this. And also, it wasn't captured in your report, but it seems to me that there's been some misunderstanding as to how this, and it wasn't the draft ordinance, as I had previously seen, it wasn't included in the report or the agenda. It seems to me there's been some misunderstanding as to how these sites or potential sites or mapping of zones that could contain potential sites might work. There is no city-sponsored safe parking operation intended to be operated under this ordinance, right? Every site, if it fits in the proposed zoning map zones that could accommodate one of these sites, would need a sponsor, and they would need to go through the process outlined in this ordinance. So should an ordinance like this be adopted in the future, nothing happens overnight and everything would need to be included with a sponsor with that, what I last saw was like a 6-vehicle limit. That's a correct understanding of where we last landed with this ordinance, right?
Yeah, and if I can take the quick opportunity to kind of explain what the original ordinance or the draft ordinance was seeking to establish. It was it would allow up to 6 parking spaces on a privately owned parcel to accommodate guests to stay overnight. The guests would be expected to leave during the daytime and return, so it wouldn't become a camping site. It was a place purely for overnight camping, overnight stays for folks that are living in their vehicles. So would not impact the 72-hour parking regulations on city streets. And it wasn't a by right. It wasn't, this wouldn't just be a blanket permit approval for somebody to sleep in their car on any private property. There was a permit process that was seeking to be established that would establish performance standards, hold operators to a pretty high level of conduct and operations to ensure there weren't any adverse impacts to neighbors or the site itself or even the guests for their safety.
Okay, great. Thanks for recapping that for my benefit and the public's benefit. One last connection I wanted to draw here is to, we have a couple policies in the housing element that seem to apply here. Policy J3, the city shall consider supporting overnight parking programs. I mean, it's a pretty loose goal. It feels like this is considering that. So it's hard to say whether we've done that or not. The one above that seems to be connected, policy J2, the city shall continue to allow emergency shelters for overnight lodging and other housing serving homeless persons in appropriate zoning districts. Do we have a sense of how comfortable we are with what the current level of emergency shelters for overnight lodging and other housing for homeless persons is in our city? Is some of that possibly these programs that are currently operating under these temporary use permits that seem to be in somewhat unsustainable status?
Yeah, so another really good question. So our staff is kind of constantly in communication with the 5 Cities Homeless Coalition, especially. It seems like their Orleans shelter has been forced to kind of bounce around, and they're looking at potential spaces for a permanent shelter. The city is always evaluating our development code and where these uses might be allowed. So, it's something that's constantly being evaluated. Nothing set in stone at this time, but with regards to the safe parking and the housing element, I think that's something that's worthwhile to consider. And council is aware of that goal and that program. So I think it's just a matter of trying to massage the ordinance into it. Something that works for council and for operators and neighbors of these sites.
Okay, great. I don't have any other questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Sackerson, do you have any questions or comments? Or clarifications, I should say.
I just have a quick comment. I want to thank staff because I don't think that it is clear to the general public always what happens behind the scenes and all that goes into trying to create an ordinance like this. And even for myself, having just learned about this particular draft ordinance recently, it's extremely well thought out. And while I understand that the suggestion at this time is to somewhat table the conversation until a later date when we have some more things ironed out. I think it's important to express to the general public so that there's some clarity that none of this is taken lightly. I mean, you've clearly gone through, we've essentially had a pilot program almost with St. John's for an entire year where not a single complaint was lodged, which I found to be very impressive considering what was offered. It wasn't what you might off the cuff just think of as, oh, well, the city's just saying, here's a parking lot, you can go and park there, and it could potentially get out of hand. I know that a lot of people I've seen on social media express some concern about this particular agenda item. being similar to a safe parking space up in San Luis Obispo that has had some not so great outcomes. And I understand drawing the parallel, but I think that what the city of Arroyo Grande and what you as staff are doing to try to navigate it much more carefully and thoughtfully and methodically, I think that's really a testament to how hard you work. And I think that it would behoove the public to know that, yeah, we have a program that lasted an entire year without a single complaint, that addressed all the things that people might be concerned about, like, oh, it's going to turn into an encampment. Well, it can't, because it's supposed to be monitored completely overnight. A bathroom is provided, so we're not going to have all the trash and the fecal matter that people are concerned about. People have to be screened like they were through Five Cities Homeless Coalition to ensure that they're the appropriate person or family to be using these spots. Like, all of these things were news to me that I was really pleased to see. So I'm just saying thank you for being proactive about this instead of just rolling something out that wasn't thought through. I am somewhat disappointed to see that we don't have a social service that can help facilitate it at this time, because I do hope that this is revisited later. But that was all I had to say. So just thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Roof, do you have any questions or clarifications?
Similar to Commissioner Sackerson, it really jumped out at me that St. John's was operating this for a year and had no complaints at all. So I'm kind of, maybe it sounds like just a basic, silly question, but like, if they were able to do it successfully for a year, is it just because that was a temporary use and we need a whole, it just seems like if they were successful, why couldn't we keep doing it? Can you, and that sounds like a dumb question, but can you maybe respond to that?
Yeah, of course. So a couple different layers there to address. I think partially St. John's was fortunate in their location. It's rather isolated. There's not a whole lot of development around there. At the same time, you know, you have to be careful about having guests there because it is so isolated. So thinking about the safety of the guests is really important. That's why we have the monitoring component that either on-site security or potentially cameras that was included in the draft ordinance that we had hoped to move forward with. And, you know, other locations throughout the city that could have been eligible for a safe parking site might have been more in more densely developed areas. So, you know, we wanted to have regulations that would apply equally across the board and you know, rather than trying to address each site on a case-by-case basis, develop some regulations that would apply to across the board and maintain an orderly, safe parking site, just as what was operating at St. John's, but in different circumstances.
Okay. Thank you. My heart just goes out to people who are experiencing this, and I know we want to do something that works for everyone, but when you're dealing with, like, an emergency situation for folks, it's just I'm also disappointed that we're not able to find a way to make it work. And then I also wanted to ask, because it seems like the main barrier is the active participation by the social service provider. Just for all of us, could you maybe explain, like, what some of those functions are? Is it the transitional piece moving into more permanent housing, or is it case management, or what kinds of services are we looking for, like, Five Cities Homeless Coalition to provide that would make it more feasible?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, our community is pretty lucky to have Five Cities Homeless Coalition present. They provide a large number of services, anywhere from, you know, case management to just providing information and referral services for housing programs. They offer legal services, substance abuse counseling. So really, you know, kind of runs the gamut, and the services they provide that could be sought out by people that are attending these safe parking sites. So, and I think additionally, because we saw some safe parking sites not operate so smoothly in other jurisdictions, that was really the reason I think councils was adamant that a social service provider be involved to really help address those concerns and kind of put people in touch with the right kind of help and services to try to be transformational and improve people's lives.
Thanks.
Great. I have a couple questions of my own. Are there alternatives to the Five Cities Homeless Coalition that could be looked at in terms of social service agencies, or are they the end all be all?
There are others. You know, particularly I think CAPSLO would be an option. They were running the Railroad Depot safe parking site in San Luis Obispo that's I believe was recently announced that it's going to be ceasing its operations or at least restricting them. So while we haven't reached out to any other organization yet, we've been focused on Five Cities Homeless Coalition at this time.
Okay. And then this might be not something that you can answer because I'm not sure if there's any way to take a measure of it, but do we know how many people are just living in their vehicles around the city at this point in time? Do we have any idea of like the census number of that? I mean, I know I've had several live on my block, and I can tell you I've seen them multiple times, and they're there quite frequently. So I know people are already living in their cars. They're at non-safe parking sites. I was just wondering if you guys like take a measurement of that in any way.
I don't have that information right now. You know, I don't know if people living in vehicles are included in the point in time count.
Right.
But that's something we could look into and report back.
Yeah, that would be great information to have. I don't know if they do in the point. I don't know if they separate it necessarily in the point of time count, but it's happening already. I mean, it's there, and I believe a lot of like Walmarts, for example, are known to be a safe zone for people dwelling in their cars. And I don't know if this particular Walmart is, but it's already there. And that's a known entity. So I just wanted to kind of ask that question. I don't have any other further questions. So I will open this up to public comment at this time. So if anyone in the room has a comment on this particular agenda item, now would be the time to come up and give it.
I do.
Absolutely. Sure. If you could just state your name.
My name is Denise Tursik. My husband and I are fairly new residents to Arroyo Grande. We've just kind of learned about this. One of our neighbors sent us a text and said they were having this council meeting. And I feel a little confused after reading your report and how it was started to be with faith-based organizations using like their church parking lot or whatever. But then what we had heard, and I think Mr. Buchanan, you mentioned that there wasn't any like city sponsored places, but we've heard that there's different, like the map, I don't know everything about it, but we live over near Grand and Cortland, and we had heard that there was going to be in that parking lot where CVS is or along the street on Cortland. I don't really know the details. That's why I'm asking, what's the difference between like if a church is offering to use some of their parking lot or if it's going to be in a parking lot of a business? I mean, some of the letters that we wrote or read on the agenda that was sent, you know, online, people were talking, don't put it in that parking lot. Or so I'm kind of confused as to what exactly, you know, is going on. And we, of course, would be concerned because we're right across the street from there. And we've had a lot of homeless people in that kind of vicinity. And the bushes there in the parking lot, it just smells of urine. It's terrible when you walk by. And we have like a lock on our back gate because we've had people attempt to open our back gate at night. We've had to put a lock on our water because people were using the water at night. So there is a concern, obviously, but I would like a little clarification on what is it? You know, are there plans to use like these public parking, not public, but private parking lots like at CVS or Walmart or whatever?
So if you could maybe address that.
Staff, could you address that real quick?
Yeah, be happy to. So in the draft ordinance as it was drafted, would allow safe parking sites on properties that were zoned public facility or industrial mixed use. So for the example of Cortland and Grand, that's a mixed use zoned property, so it would not be eligible for a safe parking site. In general, public facility zoned properties are those with schools or churches, some of our city facilities, but not generally any kind of commercial development. And so part of the reason behind that was the fact that, the main folks that were interested in establishing these safe parking sites were the faith-based organization. So that's why that was part of the reason it was decided to go forward with that eligibility.
Thank you.
Can I just ask for a quick clarification, because I think this might help going forward?
Yeah, go for it.
Can you also just reiterate that any sites in those zones would also require a sponsor to maintain? It's not like this happens automatically. They would require a sponsor. They would be would need to adhere to the performance standards and the draft, whatever draft ordinance ends up getting adopted, if so.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, it would not be a by right land use. So the operator, property owner, would still need to go through a permit process, obtain a discretionary permit. They would be held to certain performance standards and conditions. The permit could be revoked if those conditions were not adhered to. So, it would need an operator or sponsor to pursue that permit and then also enforce those regulations and provisions of the ordinance.
Yeah, and maybe we won't go into all of the details of everything that was in the performance standards or the parameters of the ordinance, but the draft that had come forward, just to kind of give an idea, included, I think, no more than six vehicles in one space, in one area, or one site. It included very strict time of when vehicles could come in. They would have to come in the evening and be gone in the morning at a certain time. And then, of course, all of the performance standards that and monitoring that Andrew had talked about. In general, just to give a kind of a parameter of the zoning areas, like you said, public facility, they're scattered throughout the city, but mostly it's churches, any sort of city facilities. But then the industrial mixed use was the area sort of over off of El Camino Real near Farm Supply, that area as well. So that was the only kind of other zone besides public facility that was at least in the draft, as it was going to come through the process. So.
Great. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to make a public comment on this item? No. Do we have anyone online that would like to make a public comment at this time?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Okay, we have Katie Wabowski. Katie, please unmute your microphone.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. I appreciate all of the clarifications that have been going on, but I'm kind of concerned. It looks like your room is completely empty. Is there a reason for that, or is this normal? It just seems like maybe there would be more people here interested in this subject, so I'm kind of wondering how this information has gotten out to the public. That's the first question. And the second question would be, who came up with the map? And does our opinion or our comments, do they matter in this case? Are you going to go forward if everybody says they don't want it? Are you going to go forward with it anyway?
I mean, I'll feel free to answer some of those questions, but typically, you know, we do have some people in the room this evening, and typically there are people in the rooms for public hearing items. It just all depends on who can get here and who cannot, or who is, you know, aware of the agenda items. In terms of what is going to happen tonight, we are actually not deciding anything tonight. The staff recommendation at this point is to receive this update and continue this hearing to another date that is uncertain at this time. And that is when, you know, our recommendations to council would happen at that time. So there's nothing that will be decided tonight. Is there any other public comment online?
Just to clarify, we had somebody named staff on Zoom. Is this city staff?
They're shaking their head no.
I don't believe that it is.
I'm guessing that's me. I think yes. I'm using someone else's account. Sorry, it doesn't give me an option to change my name with the way you guys have it set up. My name is Krista Jeffries, and I live in South County, and I'm an organizer for pro-housing policies to have communities be a little bit more affordable and accessible to more people. And we've been watching the safe parking discussion ever since, you know, Oklahoma Avenue became a thing, and watching this ordinance, you know, change and hearing some of the concerns of the homeless service providers and some of the complications around this program. I just wanted to take a minute to express to staff and the commission and the public that what this is trying to do, what like the real goal of a safe parking ordinance is to just stop the bleed for some people who are in extremely dire circumstances. I'm thinking of a woman who posted on a Facebook group relatively recently asking people to Venmo her a couple of dollars so that she could get dinner for herself because she had her three kids sleeping in the van with her and she needed to make sure she had enough gas in order to go to the hospital in case she went to labor. And she was fleeing a domestic violence situation. She was sleeping in her car somewhere in Napomo. Those kinds of people are already here, and they're facing very difficult circumstances where if a neighbor looks out their window and thinks there might be something weird going on, they could take it upon themselves to use a firearm or violence from their own, you know, person, or they can call the police and their car can get towed and they can take a bad situation to make it worse without safe parking circumstances. And I'm not sure what the county's direction is going to be regarding safe parking. But I would really like to see cities look at ways to just sanctify certain areas where people can park and not be harassed. We don't need to overcomplicate it with mandating expensive and time-consuming social services for programs that really, like, nobody has the staff to carry those things out right now. So my idea that I have floated to the Board of Supervisors before is that we should just let people park in parks, like where there already are paved parking lots and there are restrooms, and just not lock the restrooms overnight. I know that's probably going to cost money, but so does calling the police for every single car on the street that you don't really care for. So I think we're going to spend money either way. It might as well be to prevent human waste from leaking onto the sidewalks. This is complicated and there are no easy answers, but I think we can at least find a way to let people not experience further pain and suffering somewhere in the city. River Beach has a safe camping ordinance. You can copy paste that for free. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, there are no more speakers.
Thank you so much. So at this time, I will close public comment and we'll allow time if any commissioner wants to make any further comments. I'll go over here first, Commissioner Sackerson.
I'm just going to reiterate, it already seems clear that staff is going to be continuing to have conversations with nearby jurisdictions on how we can work together, and also perhaps copy and paste, as Ms. Jeffries said, any programs that might be effective and be proven. I think that that's something that I would like to see and would love to hear more about as time goes on. I guess I'm just going to get on my soapbox for just like 30 more seconds and just say my piece about my hope that we as a commission and we as all taxpayers here in this city, we don't focus so much on otherizing people who are perhaps down on their luck for whatever reason, whether it's health, domestic abuse, whatever happens. By the grace of God, that could be any one of us. You just never know. So I would love to see some more compassion and thoughtfulness in, as we discuss these things. Like so many people have said already, there are no easy answers, but certainly we can keep trying. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Roof, do you have any further comments?
I think something came up in one of our written communications that I forgot to mention before, and Ms. Jeffries mentioned it as well. What is Grover Beach doing? Do we know, or do you guys know what their ordinance is, or do they have a safe parking ordinance there?
No, Grover Beach has been working on a number of programs with the homeless, and they have a shelter as well that are I'm trying to think of the name. Pallet Homes they're working on. So we will certainly connect with them and see if there's anything that they have in terms of safe parking. But yeah.
And then just to add to that, I don't have a ton of familiarity with Grover Beach's ordinance, but I do know that they have created a program that would allow folks to camp in the city. That would require certain distances from different land uses, residential uses and businesses. And it also has a requirement that you don't camp in the same location night after night. And so there's a distance that you'd have to move. But that's sort of how they're addressing that at this time. And we'll definitely be looking at how that program works there.
It just seems like I want to echo what Commissioner Sackerson said, like as we're moving forward, if the issue is limited resources, if we could work together with Grover Beach and have a combined effort, or so we're not duplicating, using the resources the best we can, it seems like that would be a good path forward if there's some collaborative opportunities, you know, with our neighbor city.
Thank you. Commissioner Buchanan, do you have any comments?
Yeah. I agree with all the comments made my fellow commissioners so far. It feels really bad to simply postpone this recommendation without making some postpone the hearing without making some recommendation for maybe a new way of approaching this, because I don't think just postponing it as is will get us much farther. I appreciate the work that's being done here, but I think there are some real obstacles in the current framework that we just aren't going to find a solution to. The requirement or potential requirement to have a social services provider on site, just I don't think that's going to be workable for a site of, you know, six people or six families. No, that's just the reality of where we are now. Nobody can, the money for that isn't going to show up anytime soon. And there are also real costs to the sponsors in the draft ordinance that I last saw. And again, those are real obstacles here that are going to do a disservice to the more near-term goal of like was mentioned here tonight, just simply providing someone a safe place to sleep. Of course, connecting people to social services is a good goal, and we want to do that. But we can't let, you know, we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good here. So, you know, we do... I think this can be accomplished with clear performance standards. This is something we do, you know, with like a short-term rental ordinance. We aren't there. There could be people who don't have a permanent home living in a short-term rental or living in a motel, living in a hotel. And we don't mandate that, you know, people providing those services, connect them to a social services provider. We don't mandate that they contact the police department on entering those facilities. Again, those can be helpful in this situation, and I understand why we might want to do that. But, you know, we have sponsors who are already doing this under tenuous circumstances, and I wouldn't want to see this, again, just get kicked down the road when I think we can be, like I said, implementing a good ordinance. It might not be the perfect ordinance, I would love to see what an ordinance with clear performance standards without the requirement for a social services provider and a minimal cost burden to any potential sponsors would look like here and how workable that is. I know, like I asked about up front, it seems like some of the feasibility there may be what staff feels like will get support, but it's clearly not feasible to keep saying that we support this in its current direction. It just doesn't look like that's going to happen from my perspective. So again, having a provider set up shop for six people isn't going to really be feasible, but that location for those six people that can have a safe parking spot is going to be incredibly valuable to them with or without that social services provider for that one night or two night stay with clear performance standards that community development director Pedrati already began to highlight. So, you know, I'll leave my comments there. I would like to propose a motion in that direction when the time comes. Because again, I don't feel comfortable just postponing the recommendation as is.
Thank you, Commissioner. I fully agree with everything that my fellow commissioners have been saying tonight. We're talking about people who are dealing with extreme poverty, and I can guarantee that they don't want to live in their vehicles. And the harder we make the process for them, the harder of their lives that we make for them. This is all a result of not having affordable housing in our area for the most part. And so just going along with all of this, if we're expecting things to be transitional, we need to be sure that there is somewhere to transition to. So I just want to, you know, put that out there for all of us to think about and consider. And I also hope that council will relook at this sooner than later. It's not going away and it's going to get worse. So at this time, I would like to invite anyone to make a motion.
Sure. So I would like to motion to alternative two here, providing other direction to staff. In the most general terms, like I'll put it here. I would like to see, I would like to direct staff to draft a pared down ordinance here with clear performance standards, with no requirement of a social services provider and minimal cost burden to the sponsor. And that cost burdens there could be insurance or application fees. I understand there is time involved with these things. So I'm using the minimal term there. Yeah. So just to circle back on what that motion would just be to direct staff to draft an ordinance with clear performance standards and no requirement of a social services provider and minimal cost burden. Motion to provide that other direction to staff.
Can I ask a question of staff real quick? Because of our role as planning commission, is that a motion we can entertain, or do we need to motion to persuade city council to allow staff to do this?
I think that would be more appropriate. We've been given direction by the council,
right,
to a certain degree. So, yes, I suppose it could be a direct, you know, we could take that forward as a communication to the city council, if that's the direction you'd like to go. So
our place as planning commission would be to advise staff to ask the city council to consider the items, yeah, that Commissioner Buchanan put into motion.
That's how I interpreted my direction here. So it would filter through council at some point. So, yeah.
So can I amend your motion to?
Sure. If it's easier for me to restate it. Yeah. I would motion to ask council to provide direction to staff to draft an ordinance with clear performance standards, with no requirement of a social services provider and minimal cost burdens to the sponsor.
Can I ask a question about that? Because it was sort of my understanding from the way this was written that it's the city attorney that has kind of said that you must have the social services provider. Was I misunderstanding that?
Well, it was direction from the city council as part of the hearing. So we would take that forward and obviously run it through our city attorney as well, who would be part and parcel with that, with the direction from the city council.
So I misunderstood. It was the city council that said we should have that, but not the city attorney. So that wasn't a legal recommendation.
No, no.
That was just the council saying
that's
that.
Correct.
Okay. When you said council, I thought you meant SEL council, not
right,
CIL
right.
council. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So we have...
And let me just kind of throw in this as a kind of a recommendation. In the motion, we have an item before you. So there needs probably to be a motion regarding what if you receive the update and still continue it off calendar. And that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And then with the addition of Commissioner Buchanan's direction.
So
yeah,
to amend his motion to receive the update, continue the hearing to a date uncertain, and et cetera.
With comments, yeah. yeah, that seems appropriate. Yes, so I would motion to receive the update, postpone the recommended hearing to a date uncertain with a draft ordinance with clear performance standards without the requirement of a social services provider and minimal cost burden to the sponsor.
To ask city council to consider.
Ask city council that. To do all that, yes.
Okay, I think we got this, right? I will second that motion. Do we have a roll call?
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Commissioner Sackerson?
I'm going to say no on just the little add-on because I actually think that it behooves us to follow for lack of a better word, pilot program that proved effective. And I think in part it was because of the oversight that was given. And I do agree that it's unfortunate that it's costly, but so as much as I would like to, I'm going to say no.
All right. Well, the motion was passed 3-1. And that is the end of item, I don't remember the number at this point, 8A. So we'll move on to agenda item 9A, which are our non-public hearing items. 9A is the consideration of general plan consistency for the fiscal years 2023 to 2028 capital improvement program. I've been saying that all night. Mr. Perez, do you have a staff report?
Yes, thank you very much. So before we dive into the CIP too deeply, I'll just provide some background about kind of the city's budget process and how the CIP fits within that. So the city has a biennial budget cycle that consists of two major components, funding for our day-to-day operations and then funding for the capital improvement projects. Capital improvement plan projects tend to be large multi-year efforts, so it's more effective to schedule these on a five-year plan for purposes of scheduling out multiple years and also funding availability. So council considered the 2023 to 2028 preliminary five-year CIP budget at its last meeting on May 9th and was supportive of the budget and those programs as was proposed. So we're here this evening because Government Code Section 65103C requires each planning agency, which in this case is the Planning Commission, to annually review the CIP for consistency with the city's general plan. While that outlines the responsibility of the Planning Commission, council is responsible for managing the budgeting, scheduling, project selection, and approval process. So looking at the five-year CIP plan, it includes 44 projects over the five-year period with a projected cost of approximately $60 million. Like CIPs before it, it continues to focus on maintaining current city assets and infrastructure. By and large, funding for CIP projects relies on grant funding and our local sales tax fund. So looking at projects that are intended to kick off in fiscal year 2023 and 24, which begins on July 1st of this year, includes sewer and water infrastructure projects. This includes replacing, rehabbing, and maintaining the city's water and sewer infrastructure. This can be replacing or repairing sewer mains, water mains, manholes, lift stations, stuff of that nature. Another major project that will be carried out next year is the public safety video camera project. This includes replacing, upgrading, and increasing the number of public safety video cameras that would monitor city facilities, infrastructure, and some highly traveled intersections. The city also intends to install and implement new financial management software. This will improve the ease of financial transactions reporting and increase financial transparency. And finally, annually a big part of the CIP plan is the pavement management program. And this is an ongoing effort to maintain city streets, alleys, and parking lots, and it's also an opportunity to provide ADA compliant pedestrian facilities throughout the city. This is a table that was also provided in the staff report and identifies kind of the total budget for the five-year period for projects and their funding sources. So getting on to kind of the main event of tonight. So projects identified in the CIP are consistent with a multitude of policies from various general plan elements. For example, the circulation element supports certain projects in the CIP that seek to improve and maintain the circulation network for all users. There are also CIP projects that are consistent with economic development elements, policies that seek to improve and maintain sewer and water infrastructure that would allow for business expansion, development, and redevelopment throughout the city. Our parks and recreation element seeks to maintain and expand parks and other recreational facilities. For example, the replacement of the Mark Millis Recreation Facility is consistent with this policy. We also have the safety element that supports certain CIP projects, primarily seeking to maintain public safety data and those systems. And then finally, the land use element includes policies that encourage the city to improve infrastructure to accommodate all modes of transportation and also provide adequate infrastructure to support anticipated land uses across the city. So staff's recommendation is to adopt a resolution that finds the five-year capital improvement program consistent with the general plan. And after tonight, these programs will be brought to City Council for adoption as part of the biennial budget at Council's next meeting on May 23rd and then the following meeting on June 13th. So happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you. Commissioner Buchanan, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Sanderson? I said your name wrong. Sackerson. Oh, I'm so bad with the last names.
That's all right. No, I think my questions are, no, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Commissioner Roof.
I don't have any questions, but I did have a couple comments. Just being new to the commission, it was really helpful to see everything that our city is doing. I was super excited to see that the swinging bridge is going to be fixed, because every time we have a festival and people are walking across that, I'm like, go around. Anyway, and then the Halcyon Complete Streets plan, I thank Mr. Press for giving me the link. I could go look at the staff report. I was really excited to see that we're working on that whole corridor and the planning is for these different zones, and like, I'm really learning a lot. And I appreciate all the time that went into preparing this for us. And then the last comment that I had was just on the closing of the Mark Millis Community Center. I understand it's an unsafe structure. My kids all went to the after school over there or the before school. And the facilities even then were not looking great, and so I understand we had to close the child care. And I had the opportunity to listen to the public comment, and there were so many parents just really upset and devastated on losing those child care spots. And just being in the field of early childhood education myself, we have so few like high quality early care centers and sites. And so I was looking at the budget, and I was kind of thinking, well, that was going to be closed. And it'd be hard to build a facility. And I saw some of the numbers, and I'm like, we must be able to do some sort of childcare facility. You know, as we're trying to grow our workforce and trying to encourage business development, we need childcare. Childcare is so key to that. And I know there's nothing that's not a land use plan or like anything that the Planning Commission can do, but just as a comment, I would really love to see City Council take those parents' comments to heart when they're considering plans for what that site's going to look like, and really try to encourage them to provide that. Those slots are not available other places. I know we got members from Child Care Resource Commission, but just to have a center and a high quality program with the staff we have there, I'd really love to see that. Just throwing out there as a comment, not so much a question. So thank you.
Thank you. Of course, I have questions. I'm sorry. just to reiterate, for people that might be watching too, ARPA funding means the American Recovery Act, correct?
Yes. Yes. I'm just offhand, I'm forgetting the exact acronym, but I think
American Recovery Plan Act or something, yes, like that. Okay. I was just double checking on that. Do you all know how much we, as the city, received in ARPA funds?
I did know at one time.
I should have asked this ahead of time, but I did not know the exact amount.
Thank you. Andrew pointed out we have a table that was $4.3 million.
So $4.3 million of total ARPA funds. Is there a time limit on when those funds need to be used, or is it kind of just...
There is. There are parameters with that funding. I couldn't give you the exact dates, but
right. But yeah, there is some sort of limit of time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I actually have those here also. So
thank you.
Shouldn't have deferred. Yeah. So the city has until December 31st, 2024, to commit ARPA funds by way of a contract or purchase order.
Okay, so they have to be actually ordered, essentially.
Yeah, and December 31st, 2026 as the deadline to spend that money.
Got it. Okay. I think this is all coming from just looking at some of the areas that we're using ARPA funds and knowing that the point of ARPA was supposed to be to kind of help replace lost public sector revenue, and there were some specific uses into how those funds could actually be used. So responding to negative economic impacts, like raising pay for essential workers, investing in infrastructure, which I think was specifically like water, sewer, broadband, that kind of thing. And I think those were kind of the main areas. And I see that we have in here the public safety video cameras being one of the major items that we're using to spend ARPA funding, which is $888,000 of our ARPA funding, which is close to a quarter of it. I mean, 20% of it being used for these public safety video cameras. And I guess I personally have never been able to see the way these fit within our general plan. I've asked this question before in previous times that we've done this. I feel like we just did this too, but maybe it was really a year ago. And I find it, I know you guys, you all have explained this before, and the general relationship to the general plan with these public safety video cameras. But I guess my question with this was this looked at, and was this deemed as an appropriate spending of these ARPA funding, of this ARPA funding, because they have, it has to be, otherwise you can get in trouble, I guess.
Yes, that's correct. All of the items that the ARPA funds were used for were evaluated to make sure that they fit within the parameters of the areas in which the ARPA funds could be spent per the state guidelines. And the public safety cameras were also included in that.
Okay. And with these public safety video cameras, the project is, it says the projected item cost of this item is $1.25 million. What are we getting for that $1.25
million? I can jump in here. So kind of what the hardware looks like and software, I'm not really sure, but kind of look at the program from a, you know, 10,000 foot view. The program looks to install these cameras at all city facilities, so city hall, council chambers, all the city parks, infrastructure, and our highly traveled thoroughfares and like arterial streets. So it's really four different purposes in mind. The first being to deter and prevent potential crime. The second for use in investigations when crimes do occur. There will also be cameras placed here in the village that will be used for monitoring when we have a citywide events. So think Harvest Festival, Halloween in the village, Christmas parade, so extra eyes on those events for security purposes. And then finally, there will be cameras monitoring the creeks, some of our drainage basins, other water facilities, just to monitor those during storm events or potential disasters, so we can be proactive about trying to address those and minimize any loss of property or life.
I can see that use being fitting in with the ARPA funds. I find the others to be questionable. I think those were my only questions about this, though, at this time. Yeah. My notes as to what the next item is. But at this time, we can open this up to public comment if anyone has any comments on this particular agenda item. I don't think there's anyone in the room, but is there anyone online that might have a public comment on this item?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands. Oh, I apologize. We do have one.
Okay.
Alexandria Davis.
So sort of tangential but related to a comment that you had made about people using the swing bridge before it was repaired. It's been my experience in that area that it's not really clear how you could go around the bridge. I'm sure it's technically possible, but it's not exactly an area where it's easy to go around. So if it is a goal to have people go around, to make the decision to go around it, some form of map or signage might be useful in that case.
Thank you. Was there any?
Chair, there are no more speakers.
Thank you. I will close public comments on this item. Do we have any other further commissioner comments at this time? No. Nope. Nope. All right,
and maybe
then
just
to
address the comment that we received. And I'm not sure the context, but I would presume that we're talking about during construction, the swinging bridge will be closed, and so there likely will be, I'm sure there's signage involved. We can check on the details, but there'll be direction showing, you know, where to go. So,
thank you. All right. I will entertain a motion on this item if I can.
I will move to adopt a resolution finding that the capital improvement program is consistent with the general plan.
Do I have a second?
A second.
And can I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Chair Maravilla?
No. The motion has passed 3-1. And we will move on to item 10, which is notice of administrative items since May 2023. Do I have any questions from the commission on this item?
No.
Do I have any public comment on this item? Is there anyone in the room? No. Is there anyone online that would like to make public comment on this item?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you so much. We will move on to item 11, which is commission communications. Do we have any correspondent or comments from the Planning Commission at this time? Nope. So we will move on to staff communications.
Thank you, Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. Our planning manager, Andrew Perez, has kind of put up on the screen a flyer that was put together by SmartShare. Just wanted to let everybody know about a series of workshops to learn about design, permitting, finance, construction of ADUs and tiny homes on wheels. There are two on Thursday, May 18th, right here in the council chambers, one at 4:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m., and then a third one on Wednesday, May 24th at 10:30 a.m., also in the chambers. And then there are a couple other items. One is on May 31st, Wednesday, 10:30 a.m., there's going to be a SmartShare demo cottage that will be in San Luis Obispo at the Guild Hall, which is the address is on here, 2880 Broad Street. And then on Tuesday, June 6th at 5:30 p.m., there will be a virtual workshop. So we will be posting all this information on our website for folks to, if they want to take a look. I presume also the virtual workshop, there'll be an address on there that folks can get into. So that's it.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that information. I think it'll be very, very helpful for homeowners that have no idea what they're doing when it comes to an ADU.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that we're really going to highlight the pre-designed ADUs that are available for our residents. And all of these workshops were funded by ARPA funds that council allocated to the cause.
Can I just ask, how long is the session?
I think we're expecting them to be about 90 minutes each. Okay. There'll be a presentation by Ann Wyatt from SmartShare and myself, and then an opportunity to ask questions and kind of just have some dialogue between property owners and city staff.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Really useful for the community. Is there any other staff communications? No. All right. Well, with that, I believe we can adjourn the meeting at 7:14. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.